Like to keep going with the same theme of a light in the darkness. Just a little refresher from this morning. We talked about the bad news first of the darkness of this world, the evil that you see around you, our separation from a righteous and holy God. But then we know the good news also, that Jesus saves His people, that He is our life both physically, but more importantly, He is our spiritual life, and He is our light to overcome the darkness. So what does that mean for us as God's people who have been brought from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light? What are we to do with that information? Is it just enough to know that you're no longer living in darkness? You're no longer controlled by the powers of Satan? Or is there something for us? So let's look back in John chapter 1. Read three verses here, and then we're going to go around to some other verses. But John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then look in verse 33. And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Something happened to us to translate us from that kingdom of darkness, from that separation of God, from that animosity, anger, enmity, hate towards God. And it is the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ baptizing us with the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to become the sons of God. In Colossians 1 verse 13 it says, Jesus Christ who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. But He did something. You're not just taken from darkness. You're taken to something. He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That means He moved you from one place to another. He didn't just light a little candle and leave you on your own. Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, He doesn't just show you a small path. He takes you from the clutches of Satan, the power of darkness, and He takes you from Satan's control and He puts you under His authority and His power. He translates you. And how does He do that? He does that in Romans 8, 28 through 30. By conforming us to something. When you're taken from darkness, an enemy of God, you are translated into His kingdom. You're moved from one place to another. And a transformation begins to happen in your heart. And as you are no longer children of darkness, but are now children of light, something starts to change within you. You start to hate the darkness. You start to look for the light. You start to turn towards the light. The verses we read this morning told us that we walk in the power of the prince of the air. We're walking in the darkness. But now we walk in the light. We're moving. We're active. You're to be an active Christian. And it's done through being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He called, whom He called, He also justified, who He justified, He also glorified. He predetermined to make you conform to the image of Jesus Christ. As we said before, Christ is the Lamb slain before the very foundation of the world. When He created you, He created you to be brought back to the image of God. He created you in His image. We hid ourselves from His image through the sin of Adam. Adam hid in the bushes, but he hid from God because we were no longer in God's image. We were distorted. We were twisted. We were in darkness. But when He baptizes you through Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, a transformation starts in your heart. because He predetermined that you would then be conformed to be like Christ. You've heard that, I don't know, some of y'all might not have heard it. It may have been before your time, but back when I was growing up, it was the WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's actually a really good term we should bring back. Because when you're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and you're no longer walking in darkness, but you're walking in light, well, who are you walking after? Whose feet are you following? You're following the path of the light. The path of Jesus Christ. So when we have been changed, transformed, we have to put on a new mindset, a new way of thinking. It's not, what does my heart desire anymore? What's best for me financially? What's best for me physically? What's best for this? It's, what would Jesus Christ do? What would Jesus Christ have me do in this situation? How is this action, now that I'm walking in light, going to honor Christ? It has to change our mindset. It's not enough to just know that there is a light. It's not enough to know that you're not controlled by darkness. You have to know that you're walking a different path completely. So we're to be conformed. And how do we do that? We have to follow Christ. Follow His example. The WWJD. What would Jesus do? John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He takes the darkness from the world. He shows us the whole room. He shows us the path with His brightness, with His light. And then He says, He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, the first thing that we need to do, the first thing that we have to do as a people when we realize that we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit is what John the Baptist came preaching. Repent. Repent and be baptized. So for us, we have to follow Christ first through repentance. Acts 3:19, Peter's preaching and he says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. When you have been brought from the clutches of Satan and you have been brought to the power of light, Jesus Christ wipes away every one of your sins through the cross of Christ. And it is for us to repent, to fall down on our knees before the one true source of light. And repent so that our sins may be blotted out. Now, how do you repent? First off, is we need to admit that you're a sinner. You're not perfect. We're not always walking righteous. In fact, before He has baptized us with the Holy Spirit, we are never walking in righteousness. All our deeds are dark, as Romans 3 says. Nobody's seeking God. Nobody fears God. Nobody wants to know God. No one is searching for God. All are sinners. So first we need to admit, I'm a sinner. 1 John 1, verse 9. 1 John, the whole first chapter, kind of parallels part of what we're reading here in the first chapter of the book of John. But 1 John 1, 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, admit, our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to wipe away, to blot out our sins. As Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So we need to admit, Lord, I am a sinner. I am not righteous. I stand before You a broken, sinful man, Lord. I have done nothing of my deeds, nothing in my heart, nothing in my thoughts, nothing in my attitude that has warranted Your mercy. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't attain to that glory. Lord, I cannot meet Your standards. I'm not good enough. I'm not righteous enough. I am not holy enough and I am not pure enough. But Jesus Christ is. And Jesus saves His people. That's why He came to this earth. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when he baptizes you with that Spirit, when he rescues you from the darkness, you can do nothing but admit your sin before him. When you see who you are, when you have that candle lit and the darkness expelled, and you see yourself exposed, your defense is gone. Because when it's all darkness, you can hide from other people. You can hide what you really are inside. You can hide your deeds. You can hide your thoughts. You can mask it with whatever you want. But when the light exposes the truth, you have no more defense. All you can do is fall down in repentance and say, Lord, you see me for who I am. I am a sinner. I am unrighteous and I am evil. And I need to be wiped clean. I need my sins blotted out by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. So first, we must admit that we're a sinner as part of repentance. And two is we need to acknowledge our very sins. It's not just enough to say, I admit I'm a sinner, because we all are. You know, we try to start excusing it. Start acknowledging your sins before God. Lord, I have a problem with anger. Lord, I have a problem with greed. Lord, I have a problem with lust. Lord, I'm a habitual liar. Admit your sins before God. David in Psalm chapter 32 says, Lord, I acknowledge my sin unto you. Chapter 32, verses 5 through 7. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity have I not hid. Because you can't hide it from God. When His light exposes you, He sees your sin. So David's saying, Lord, you know me. I cannot hide who I am. I am going to acknowledge my sins before you because I can't hide them. So Lord, here is my sins. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for this sin. Don't just say, Lord, forgive me for being a sinner. You can say that. But Lord, start acknowledging your guilt before Him. Lord, I have sinned here. Lord, I have sinned here. Lord, I acknowledge I have this problem. I cannot hide my sins from you. I repent of my sins. Acknowledge your sins before God. Because once you have started to follow Christ, you cannot hang on and retain the power of Satan, the power of darkness, and the power of his path, which is your sin life. You have to cast it away by repentance. You have to expose it, acknowledge it, admit it, and then turn from it by following Christ. Back to John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not what? Shall not walk in darkness. You're not going to live in darkness anymore. You're going to act differently. You're going to move differently. You're going to walk differently because you're going to have something new. You're going to have the light of life. You're no longer dead inside because He's quickened you. He's awakened you. So, when we are going to follow Jesus Christ, when we are going to repent of our sins, acknowledge our sins, admit that we're sinners, that also means living with a different mindset. Live with a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. You have to live like you're living differently because you were once in the power of Satan and he has translated you, moved you into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the kingdom of light. So you need to mentally prepare yourself and mentally tell yourself, I am living a kingdom mindset. Satan has no authority over me. Satan has no control over me. Is the prince of the power of the darkness of air still out there? Yes. Is he still tempting me and taunting me? Yes. Is he throwing darts at me, trying to trip me? Yes. But he does not have power over me because I do not live under his banner anymore. I live under the banner of the kingdom of light. Have a kingdom mindset. I don't belong to Satan's kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of Christ, which has already won the victory. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 says, For we were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So, as a children of light, walk. Walk as children of light. Tell yourself, I'm not in it anymore. Satan doesn't control me anymore. Christ controls me. I'm going to walk as one of His people. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And carry on into verses 10 and 11. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we do that? By having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So how do you have a kingdom mindset? When you're in a family or a kingdom, you're going to have fellowship with that kingdom. You're going to be connected to that kingdom because you're a part of that kingdom. Now, are you going to have interaction with people outside of the kingdom? Yes, because we live in a dark world. We live in a sinful world. We can't commune ourselves off and only live with fellow Christians. We're going to be in a dark, dark world. But Christ's kingdom has called you to be ambassadors across the world. Our country has ambassadors all over the world. Other countries have ambassadors all over the world. What do? Do they represent themselves? No, they represent the nation that sent them. Christ called you to be ambassadors for His kingdom when He transformed you, conformed you into the image of His Son. You are now a flag bearer for the kingdom of light. So you go out into the other kingdom, the dark world. We're called to be out in that world living, witnessing. So you are now an ambassador, a flag bearer of the kingdom of light. Now, we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works, which means that is not who we have our close communion with. That is not who we approve of their deeds. That fellowship with means to take part of. Don't take part of the evil deeds, but instead you're to reprove them. That means to correct. Now, that doesn't mean berate and beat over the head with a stick saying you are an evil sinner. It is to reprove with the goal of drawing them in to the kingdom of light so that they too can be an ambassador. That's what that word reprove is. It's not to completely shun and turn your back on and never have anything to do with. Now, warning, when you're out there as an ambassador, having no fellowship with them, sometimes you get weak. Find other ambassadors. Look for the banner of light. And fellowship with them to remain strong. Keep strong with the kingdom. Do not completely envelop yourself in the kingdom of darkness alone. You may have times where you've got to go out in the dark world and you're it. You're the only light. But don't stay there. Seek out the other banner holders. Find them and fellowship with them. Have communion with them. Work with them. But when you do encounter the unfruitful works of darkness, don't approve it. Don't condone it. But point them back somewhere else. Don't hide your flag. Don't hide your banner of the light and just say, I don't want to have any part of this. Show them the banner. Say, hey, there's another way. There's a kingdom that is not dark, whose deeds are not evil, whose God is mighty, who forgives your sins. So live with this kingdom mindset. We read this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to go back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, meaning you're not part of that kingdom, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. So when the king of the kingdom of light comes to wreak his wrath and destruction, you're protected because you are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us do something else. It's not that we just sit back and wait. But let us watch and be sober. Be serious-minded about the task that is at hand of being an ambassador in a dark world. Because it's serious business to represent Jesus Christ and His kingdom and His light. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, doing something, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we be awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. We're to be actively putting on our Christian armor and holding up our banner and taking the task seriously of telling others that there is a kingdom of light. I used to be a police officer, and I worked nights. It was a lot different than working during the day. This is not just a quaint analogy of night and day. The tasks I did during the day were night and day opposite, light and dark opposite of the stuff I had to see at night. It was dark. It was evil. It hurt my soul. It was hard to see those things. It starts to affect you if you are engrossed in the darkness constantly. Because the darkness is powerful. Satan is not to be trifled with. Satan is serious. He wants to destroy you. He wants to put out your light. That's why you have to wear armor. You're not going out into the darkness in your pajamas or your sports t-shirt and shorts. You're putting on a breastplate, a helmet, because He wants to destroy you. He was an angel, a powerful angel. The darkness is not something that we should want to dabble in. The darkness is not something that we should want to engross ourselves in. The darkness is not something you want to be in alone. Back to when I was a police officer, there were times I had to go into some very, very dark houses. Dark in several senses. I can promise you, I never went into them alone. Because it was frightening. I always had my brothers in arms with me to go into those dark places because there is danger there. And you can't see alone. And you can't fight it alone. That's why you're to have fellowship with the other standard bearers, the other ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ. Was it Elijah who wanted to die? I'm all alone, Lord. Take me now. I'm the only Christian left. I'm the only follower of You. Take me now. He was depressed. He couldn't do it alone. And you know what? God didn't leave him to do it alone either. He said, don't fear. There's 7,000 righteous with you. So go and fight the battle. Even that great prophet couldn't do it alone. We need each other. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ to fight against the darkness. Now, Jesus has won the victory. He has won this war, but you're still out there in a dark world. And you have to battle against that dark world. That's why it says, watch and be sober. Be serious. It's nothing to play around with. Because if you're in it too long, alone, it will hurt your soul. I ended up having to swap to days at the police department because I couldn't take it anymore. It was just bearing down on me. All I saw was evil. 12-hour shifts of evil and darkness. Stuff that just turned your stomach. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to have some daylight. So don't fight it alone. But also realize, it is dark at night, but there is a dawn. And there is that light coming up. And one day, the darkness of this world will be forever gone. Because the Son of God will come down with His permanent glorious light and reign forever. So when you're in that deepest, darkest part of the night, fighting against the powers of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, and all of his cohorts, remember a dawn is coming. And Jesus Christ is that dawning light. So as you fight against this darkness, as you follow Him, as you walk as an ambassador, a light bearer of the kingdom of God, we are to do something. We are to show God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Very familiar verse to all of us. You are the light of the world. Earlier we hear that Christ is the light of the world. But it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. He has lit your candle. When He baptized you with the Holy Spirit, He set the spark in you and He lit your candle. But did you know that you can hide your light? You can hide who you are to this dark world? Because what is the darkness doing to the light? Actively trying to put it out. The darkness wants to destroy the light. So sometimes it's tempting and it's easy to just get that basket and put it over your candle in that dark world. No, no, no. I know that's evil. I know that's wrong. But I want somebody else's light to show them their evil. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep my light hid because I know I've got my light lit and I'm going to go to heaven and I know that I'm forgiven and that's enough for me. Or do you want to show the world who lit your candle? Do you want to show them the joy that you have when you can show your candle? When you were rescued from the darkness. You said, this light took me from that darkness, that fear. Don't you want to have your candle lit by a righteous God? So when you let your light shine, when you take the basket away and you proudly and humbly say, I have a light lit by the Savior Jesus Christ. What are they going to see? What is your light that they're seeing? That they may see your good works. Now this morning I said it didn't matter what your deeds were, what your works were, how good you thought you were without the light of Christ. They were all evil deeds. Because no one is seeking after God. No one fears God. No one is hungering and thirsting for Him. But when He lights your candle, He is the motivation for your good works. And that is your light. It's not beating someone over the head with the Bible. You need to draw them in to the light. You need to draw them to the story of Jesus Christ. It's them seeing your good works. That is the light. But those good works don't point to you at all. When you're showing your light, when you're showing others the goodness of Jesus Christ, you're not saying, Titus did some really cool deeds today. Isn't he a great guy? No, they're supposed to look at what you have done and give praise to God that someone so sinful, so evil, so dark could have been rescued and brought into light to do such deeds. Our deeds should point others to the mercy and grace of what God can do to a dark and sinful heart. Show His light by your good works. We do that by witnessing, by proclaiming the good news. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're to show. You're to show what has happened to you. You're chosen. You're royal. You're a priesthood. Show forth the mighty God who called you from darkness into light. Tell people the good news. Don't keep it contained. Don't keep your candle hid. Let others see so that they can see the beauty of being rescued from darkness. We also have that witness by showing love. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded him." You know where you see a whole lot of animosity, some headbutting, almost hate? In the church sometimes. How are we as a church showing the love of Christ to those around us? Are we really doing what we should to show our love for our brothers? And it's not just us loving the people in this church. It's us loving the universal church of Jesus Christ, showing love towards all His people, and showing mercy and kindness to those who aren't, so that you can show them the light, that you can be that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. When you, church, are functioning the way that God has called us to function as burning lights, you cannot be hid. You cannot mask that light. You cannot hide that light. So take the bushel away. Take the basket away. Be excited to light the room for someone else. Be excited to show them the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. John chapter, 1 John chapter 1 again. Because this is what happens when we have that light in us, lighting us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you. For what purpose? That your joy may be full. It is a joyous thing to show the light of Jesus Christ. It is a joyful thing to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is a joyful thing to follow Christ's path, to turn your back from darkness, from the powers of the darkness of the prince of the air, and follow Christ. And it gives you joy. That's why David says, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation," when he was in his dark times and he was seeing darkness covering him and he felt his flame going out to just a flicker. "Lord, light my candle, rejuvenate it, restore to me the joy of my salvation," because it is joyful. Remember when I was talking about my children? The light's going out completely. It's completely dark. What do you want? You just want to see the light. When that light turns on, it's that sigh of relief because you know it's safe. You know it's okay. That's what happens when He pulls you out of darkness. He lights that room with the candle. You have that sense of joy and safety in Jesus Christ. And this verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and which we declare unto you, that God is the light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, walking as Jesus walked, following His steps, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So yes, it is dark. But that's just the bad news. The good news, there's life through Christ. There is a light through Christ from that life, and that light has been planted in each and every one of you. So don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed when you see the evil around you. When you're in the darkest part of that night, because the dawn is coming and you have a light with you. You have a candle that cannot be snuffed out because it was not made by you. It was not made by man, and man has no control over it. Neither does the prince of the darkness of the powers of this air. He has no control over your light because Christ lit that light. And He gave that light to you to do something with. He is life. He is light. He is the very meaning of life and light. And by His life, we have been brought to life. And you, brothers and sisters, you have been made to be lights in this dark world. Lights to point to the light, to the dawning of the coming of Jesus Christ. His light cannot be overcome by darkness. It will expel all darkness. This darkness cannot overpower His light because it is complete in the work of Jesus Christ. And His work in us cannot be overcome. You may put a bushel over your light, but Satan can never take that light away from you. So, when these times that we live in now, or any period of your life, when they seem dark, when the evil seems to be surrounding you, when it would seem that all hope is gone, all the rays of life have been snuffed out, remember, you have the light. It's in you. It is lit in you by His power. It is lit in you by His mercy through the agent of the Holy Spirit. And you are staying lit through His strength. So with His strength, take off the bushel from your candle, because you have an eternal flame that can never be put out. And you go out into this dark world and show His light. Let's pray.